In Acts chapter 28, the very last verse, verse 31. This is the final statements about the life of the Apostle Paul. He finds himself in prison. His freedom, his ability to roam and move around has been restricted. But yet it has not stopped him from fulfilling his call by God. And his location, his condition, does not prevent him from doing what God called him to do. And I believe that this last verse describes the attitude that each individual believer should carry forth in their daily walk. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what the conditions, this verse, I believe, describes how you ought to approach that situation. In Acts chapter 28, verse 31, these words were written about the Apostle Paul. It said, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you and me today. We're to have this attitude. This is to describe, if this is a picture of what our lives ought to look like. I want to talk about being bold for Jesus. Amen? Being bold for Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who happens to be pastoring a church in Ephesus. Timothy, who has become weary, Timothy, who needs encouragement, Paul writes to him because Timothy has been one who has trained and walked with Paul. 2 Timothy indicates that it is the second letter that Paul wrote to him. Amen. Having spent time with Paul, having gone through some of the experiences with Paul, having been on journeys with Paul, having dealt with opposition that Paul dealt with, Paul still felt the need to record these words and send them to Timothy. Because even though you've been with a person, you walk through some stuff, sometimes you can still become discouraged. Amen? Paul wrote to Timothy these words. He said, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind or self-discipline. Amen. And if you and I are to be bold for Jesus, I need to remind you that the same spirit that was given to Timothy was given to you. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but he gave you the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind. Amen? That's the spirit you have. That's part of the attribute of the spirit that you've been given to you. And so that means whenever fear creeps into your life, you've got to be reminded, but I don't have the spirit of fear. If I've got fear all over me, that ain't God. I may become afraid, but I don't walk in fear. Amen. We know this to be true because one of the devil's chief weapons is to bring fear into your life. And you've got to be aware that when fear shows up, that you have a response to fear. I might be afraid, but I ain't walking in fear. In fact, courage is described this way. Continuing to walk or press in the direction God sent you, even when you scurred. Amen? You remember Joshua being told to go ahead and lead God's people into the promised land? God had to tell him over and over, be strong and courageous. Why do you have to tell Joshua over and over to be strong and courageous? Joshua was a warrior. God had to keep saying to him, be strong and courageous, because the enemy uses fear to paralyze you and prevent you from walking into what God has for you. God said to Moses, it's time for us to move on into the promised land. Moses said, let me send out 12 spies. You remember what happens? They send out 12 leaders, 12 spies to go check out the land that had been promised to them. And 10 of those spies come back with a bad report, cloaked in fear, wrapped in fear, a report that they got because they were afraid. Because of their fear, it prevented an entire generation from entering into the promises of God. All I'm trying to tell you is that God has not given you a spirit of fear, not giving you a spirit of timidity. And anytime that fear, timidity starts to paralyze you, you need to get to proclaiming God's word over your life. Amen? You have to bring fear under subjection and make it obey. I'm not telling you to ignore what you feel or to claim it ain't real. That's delusional. What I am telling you, though, is that when it shows up, to deal with it appropriately. That means you've got to identify yourself. I don't have the spirit of fear. Therefore, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the spirit that you placed in me, manifest your strength, manifest your power. Help my eyes to be open to see that I am not alone, so that I can move forth in what you've called me to do. Help me to know that you've surrounded me with angels and those who are willing to fight on my behalf when I walk in obedience to what you have declared. And as long as I'm standing still in fear, I can't receive what you want me to have. Holy Ghost, will you help me? Because right now, I can't move. I'm scared. And what you did is you just keep on doing that. You keep on praying that. You keep on saying that until all of a sudden you get some step. You get some movement. You start to move in the direction that God has called you to go. You and I have to be bold for Jesus. We got to be bold for Jesus. And those two words are diametrically opposed to one another. Amen? You got to be bold. Paul says, it says of Paul that he was bold. Boldly declared, proclaimed the word of God. Talked about the kingdom of God and preaching about who Jesus Christ was. The word bold, because many of us will have our definitions that come to mind, used throughout the biblical text, it has been translated sometimes as outspoken. Sometimes it has been translated in the terms of frankness. A person who is frank is considered to be bold. It is a word that has also been translated plainness. To speak plain, that there is no ambiguity to what you are declaring. It also comes to talking about speaking openly in public settings. You don't shrink back in that you're not quiet, covered with courage, assurance, fearlessness, and with confidence. So we talk about being bold for Jesus. We're talking about being outspoken about Jesus, talking about being frank about Jesus, talking about speaking openly and freely in public about Jesus, talking about speaking with courage about Jesus and with absolute confidence about Jesus. You and I want to be bold for Jesus. Amen. When you and I read through the book of Acts, we see examples over and over and over again about the boldness of believers who were now living their lives for Christ. We see their boldness showing up on a number of occasions, and I just want to walk you through a couple of examples to see what that looks like in their lives. Acts chapter 28, verse 31 ends with the very statement that Paul was boldly and without hindrance preaching the kingdom of God. That he was teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his mission. Acts 28 ends with that verse. And it's also kind of the implication that you and I are to be Acts 29. Amen? Because remember, the book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit working through the church. It is about the birth of the church. It is about how the church was empowered, how the church grew. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that it did not stop in Acts 28, verse 31, but it continues on. And it must continue on through the lives of those who have believed the witness and the testimony and who have experienced the power of God through the person of Jesus Christ, and their lives have been transformed so that they have now become witnesses of the saving grace of Jesus. Now you've got to do the same thing. Boldly proclaim the kingdom of God and teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first example that shows up in Acts chapter 2 about the boldness of the believers actually comes from Peter's first message. You remember Peter's first public address after the believers had been filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in unknown tongues, and those who were around heard them expressing thanks to God, and they understood them, each one, in their own language. And folks began to hear them and claim that they were drunk, that they had had too much wine. And upon hearing that, it was Peter who was filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, who stood up and boldly began to proclaim truth. Who fearlessly, in the face of opposition, stood up and spoke truth. Go back and read Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 39. I encourage you to read that on a regular basis, because in that address, Peter lays out so beautifully what it looks like for a man or a woman to repent, experience salvation, and receive the Holy Spirit from God. He says that you must turn from your old way of thinking about who Jesus is. Repentance here is not necessarily dealing with this whole idea of I've got to repent from my sins. Yep, you have to. But what he's talking about is you missed who Jesus is. You need to change your mind about who Jesus is. And you need to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. You need to acknowledge that he came of a virgin and that he was without sin. He was perfect in all of his ways. You need to acknowledge that you didn't capture Jesus. Jesus surrendered himself. You need to acknowledge that he was the Messiah, the promised one that God said he would send. That when he laid down his life, he did it for you, even though you were an ungrateful, still did it for you. And that even though he was sinless, he took on your sins so that you might live. You've got to change the way you think about Jesus. Jesus is more than just a good teacher. He's more than just a historical figure. He's more than just a prophet. How dare you tell me that my Savior was just a good teacher? You know how some of us, some of y'all didn't experience this, but some of us, when we were growing up and we would be playing the dozens or capping on one another, all was good, everything was fair, you could talk about me all you want to. But don't you ever, ever make the mistake talking about my mama. You start talking about my mama, it's on and popping now. Right? I mean, you could have been cracking on me all day long and everything you said could have been true and accurate. That's cool. I'm taking your hits and blows and they rolling down my back. But the moment you're going to talk about my mama, okay, gloves are off. We got to go, right? It is that same attitude that you and I must have when it comes to talking about your Jesus. It's a shame that some folk will fight for their mama, but they won't fight for Jesus. Knowing that he is the Savior of your soul. That because of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Because of Jesus, they no longer are resident with you, but he has thrown them away. He has removed them. As far as the east is from the west, and every time they try to catch up with you, he stands in the middle and he plays interferences. He said, no, you can't get back. No, no, no. Jesus is doing all of that for you. The Lord is be bold and speak up for him. What do you mean just a prophet? Please, he from heaven. The living word. Made flesh. Tell me who else walked on water besides Peter. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Right there. But Peter spoke up. He confronted those who were saying that the coming of the Spirit of God was the filling of the saints with alcohol or wine. He just said, no, we have simply received what the Lord Jesus promised, what God promised. We've simply received it because we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we've received, you can have some too. But you can't have it with the attitude that you got right now. You got to change the way you think about Jesus, and you've got to change your attitude if you want to receive what I got. Amen. And can I, this is a side note, can I just go and tell y'all to stop trying to make folks think and have what you have without doing what you've done? Amen. Folks see your peace and they want your peace, but they don't want to do what you got to get your peace. I trusted Jesus. Wait a minute. I didn't just trust him. I trust in Jesus. If you want peace, you got to keep your mind stayed on God. Isn't that what Isaiah 26 says? He who has his mind will be in perfect peace. You want my peace, but you don't want to do what I got to get my peace. Stop trying to make them think they can have what you have without doing what you needed to do to get it. It's only available for those who are able to walk in obedience to what God says and to put their trust in him. And if they're not willing to do that, don't make them think they can have it. Stop trying to make folks feel good. Amen. I guess being bold, part of being bold is speaking the truth. And sometimes there will be feelings of others that might be hurt. They might be offended. But if you walk away not speaking the truth, you have not carried out your function as a faithful witness for the kingdom. You've been called to be a truth teller. Amen? So Peter spoke boldly and he spoke the truth. Again, read it. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 39. He recounts that and he sets up for us a truth that you and I and every individual who will come to know Jesus Christ must acknowledge. In order for you to be this bold in speaking these truths, you've got to believe what you are proclaiming. Amen? There's got to be a firm belief in your heart about who Jesus is. Because if there's not a firm belief, you cannot boldly declare his truth. So you must have a firm belief about who he is. Another example of Peter's boldness shows up in Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 6. You remember Acts chapter 3 is about that man who had been crippled from birth. When Peter and John were going into the temple, this man was begging them for money because that had become the way that he would provide for himself. He looked at Peter and he looked at John and he was expecting something from them, alms from the poor, he said. Are for the poor, and they looked at him and said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have is what we will give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The man, in response to the faith that Peter and John displayed, responded to the declaration that came from their mouth. When he got up, he ran into the temple. He was jumping and shouting and hanging out with them. And then as the onlookers saw what was going on, Peter then began to address the crowds again. Peter was being outspoken in a public setting where he would not normally have been so bold. But because he has been filled with the Holy Spirit, he has been called to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Peter couldn't help but speak up. Why y'all looking at me and John like we did something? We ain't nobody. All we did was told this man in the name of Jesus, you better get up. Then he used that opportunity, that moment, to begin to tell them about this Jesus that they needed to know. He was being bold no matter where he was, and he proclaimed truth. Go back and read it again and read it from the perspective of what was he doing? Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. And as if that wasn't enough, you remember what happened as a result of Peter and John proclaiming truth and teaching? They were apprehended by the chief priests and the elders. Then in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12 and verses 18 through 20, we see another powerful example of Peter's boldness coming forth. Because in response to the chief priests and the elders, when they were asked about the power in the name used to heal the man who had been crippled, they stood up and said, it was the name of Jesus. And so in the face of those who thought they had power, they did not shrink back. They were still bold. So that means that when you're bold for Jesus, you even speak in the face of power because there's going to be nothing to shut you down. In fact, they said, we should obey God rather than man. So if you're going to be bold, you've got to believe the truth about Jesus, and you've also got to obey God rather than man. Amen. There has to always be that thing of, what did God say? What are they asking of me? What did God say? And what are they asking of me? And every time, what God said must win out. Every time, you must stand up and boldly be a witness. Why? Because you are an ambassador for the kingdom. You are a representative of the kingdom of God. You have been called to carry out his orders, not the orders of this world. Can I just tell you, you need not fear man? Even though some would believe they have the power to stop you and to cripple you, don't you ever be deceived and fear them and walk in fear. You always obey what God says rather than what people say. Amen. That's just a couple of examples of Peter being bold. And we know that they keep showing up. And so one of the things that I want to exhort you to do is do just like the believers did then. For in Acts chapter 4, you also read about a prayer that they prayed. For when Peter and John had been released by the chief elders and the priests, the Sanhedrin, what they did was went back and told the other believers what was going on. When the other believers heard what was going on, they all gathered in prayer. And they began to pray. And what they prayed was, God, give us a boldness to speak the name of Jesus and to not shrink back. So that means that you and I, in your prayer time, when you start your day, when you're on your way, when you get ready for that meeting, when you have that encounter, you start to say, God, give me a boldness to speak your word. Help me to proclaim the kingdom of God, to teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me. And you incorporate that into the way that you pray. You pray for boldness in response to opposition. If somebody is trying to stop you from doing what God has told you to do, start praying for boldness. Why? Because we sang earlier about victory. He is my victory. That means sometimes we've got to fight and press through, and you've got to pray for a boldness not to shrink back, but to move forward to what he has called you to do. And so you pray for the boldness. You've got to believe the truth about Jesus. You've got to have a belief that's deep down in the citadels of your heart that you won't be moved from. You've got to obey God rather than man and take advantage of every opportunity that the Spirit gives you to represent the kingdom well. Then here's the other thing you've got to do. You've got to love like Christ loved. Amen? You and I are going to be bold for Jesus. We've got to love like Christ loved. How did Christ love? Well, remember, first of all, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how God showed his love, by giving his Son. This is how the Son showed his love, is by giving his life. Jesus loved so much that he was willing to give his life and lay it down for others. That's what I know is painful. That's what love looks like. She's looking at me like, you're going to have to explain that one. you gotta expound. Given my life, but with yes. Yes. Jesus' love was an unconditional love. His love did not keep a record of wrongs, which means that he had the kind of love that was a forgiving love. The kind of love that when you have been done wrong, you trusted God enough to deal with the one who had done you wrong, but you learn how to love them so that if God wants to use you, he can. You remember the conversion of Saul. We've talked about it on a couple of occasions when on the Damascus Road, he was blinded, knocked off of his mule, and he had to go into the city. And there was another disciple of Jesus Christ who was in the city, devout man who was praying, and Jesus spoke to him and said, I need you to go lay hands on that knucklehead that's coming to persecute the church. Well, you know, Jesus didn't use the word knucklehead, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Ananias, who receives this word, has to trust God enough, has to trust Jesus enough to walk in obedience to what he has been commanded and to go and love on this man whom he was afraid of. That's what he does. He goes there. And this is how we know that what he did was steeped in love. Because when he showed up, his first word was, brother. Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus has sent me. Amen. Love means that I'm willing to sacrifice and go and do what God has asked me to do for the benefit of another. Amen? Love does not mean that I become a floor mat. I never want us to confuse that. Love doesn't mean that I become something that you can walk upon. Love means that I am going to always demonstrate the characteristics and behaviors of Jesus Christ because I understand that I am a vessel. I am an instrument of the kingdom, and the only way that I can do it is through his love. For instance, you remember the occasion when Paul was arrested? I heard you say, in which time? It was when Paul and Silas was arrested. They were placed in jail, in the inner cell. Where they were placed there, they were whipped, they were beaten, and then locked up. And it says around about midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises and hymns unto God and to pray. As they were singing and praying, that an earthquake came, all the jail doors flew open, the shackles that held them came off. They had an opportunity, along with all the other prisoners, to get up out of there, but they didn't. Because the jailer came running, asking for lights. Because he thought all of the prisoners had escaped. Paul from the darkness said, we all here, man. He's still chilling. Yeah, that's what he said. We good. We good. So he runs in and he says to them, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas have been whipped. They've been beaten. They've been placed in an inner cell. They've got chains around them, had chains around them. And the man comes and says, what must I do to be saved? And their response is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your whole family will be saved. Well, you remember the man was saved. His family got baptized. He took Paul and Silas to his home and he cleaned them up. got them ready, and then the next day they were ready to set Paul and Silas free. He came. Man, I got your release papers. You guys can leave. But Paul took an interesting position. He said, no, wait a minute. Y'all did us wrong. We're not just going to walk up out of here like we was guilty. I need you to go get the folks who perpetrated this wrong upon us. And I need you to have them escort us out of here so that when we leave, everybody knows the truth about what was going on. That's an example of Paul saying, no, wait a minute. I'm not your floor mat. I'm not going to let you walk over me and misrepresent who God is, but I'm going to stand up for what is right and what is true in a way that is both honorable and pleasing unto the Lord. Amen? And what you and I have to learn how to do is love in that kind of way to where everything that we say and do demonstrates that we belong to Christ. Amen? Our love must be genuine. It must be sincere. It should not be fake. You've got to love people in order to endure some of the stuff that people do. It has to be a love that comes from the Spirit of God, not a love of your own, because you know that with your love, with my love, it don't take much for me to say, I ain't got nothing else to do with you. I tried. I'm done. Yes, please remove my number from your phone. You've been blocked. I've unfriended you. It don't take much. But when you have the love of Christ that has been poured in your heart, you stop taking things so personally and you start realizing that, man, the people that I'm dealing with are broken and fallen just like I was. And you start understanding, but wait a minute, he healed me and he redeemed me and he poured his love inside of me so that I can be a part of the healing process. And in order for me to be a part of the healing process, I gotta love them the way Christ loved me. He loved me out of my mess. Every time I would mess up, he would go pick me up again. That's the kind of love. You and I are gonna be bold. But Jesus, we got to have that kind of love. Amen? Kind of love that looks at people when they hurt you and when they offend you, and you're willing to forgive them. Yeah. 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 I know. And I have to qualify. This is a broad, sweeping statement. So I have to qualify. There are some people you got to let go. Amen? Remember the order that you and I were given when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment in the Bible? Remember the order that was given. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your body. Love God with all that you have. Then he said, love others as your neighbor, as yourself. Remember the order, that your order always has to be to love God first. When you love God first, God helps you with the rest. Right? So you got to have a love for God first. When you're loving God first, you remember that God, what I do is because of the love that you've given to me. What I do is out of obedience of what you said to me. And so God, I'm loving you. And God, when you say to me, listen, it's okay. I'll take care of that one. It's okay for me to move on and not feel guilty. I'm trying to move, but let me give you this illustration that comes straight from the Bible. You remember King Saul was the first king appointed in Israel. King Saul was a disobedient king. He was a king who, given instructions through the prophet Samuel, could not carry them out because fear led him to do the wrong thing. Two times he disobeyed God, and God said, nope, I've got to go find another king. Remember that? Samuel was grieved in his heart about what had happened to Saul. Samuel was praying and praying and praying for King Saul. And one day God said to him, how long are you going to waste our time together praying for this guy that I've already said? I'm done with him. Now stop coming to me talking about Saul when you've got other work to do. Amen. That's God saying to Samuel, that issue is dealt with. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Move on. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a hard word because sometimes we feel like, if I just pray hard enough, because I can't give up. I can't give up. It's not in my DNA to give up. God, I just know. And God has said, wait a minute. Who works for who? You working for me or do I work for you? Oh, I got to remind you, I'm God and you're not. And there must be a willingness to say that, oh God, in obedience to you and love for you, I'm willing to trust you with that. And I'm going to get over here and I'm going to invest time and energy doing what you called me to do, praying for those that you've called me to pray for, because I want to pray in agreement and accordance with your will. Because when I pray in agreement and accordance with your will, I have what I ask for. But if I'm praying for something you telling me not to pray for, I'm wasting my breath and your time. You and I need to have the kind of love that is both balanced with truth and obedience. We could spend more time there, but I'm going to keep going. Amen. You got to believe. You got to obey God rather than man. You got to love like Christ. Finally, if you and I are going to be bold for Jesus, we have to declare the truth, the uncompromising truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It says in Acts 28:31, one more time, that he proclaimed the kingdom of God. He taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to declare the truth, the uncompromising truth of God, of the kingdom of God, and of Jesus Christ. Now, in order for you to declare the uncompromising truth, you must what? Know the truth. In order for you to know the truth, you must what? Read and study the truth. Amen? That means that you've got to know it. And so I encourage you to become a student of God's word. A practicing student of God's word. A reading student of God's word. From Genesis to Revelation. All 66 books. Amen? That you become a student of God's word. You learn to rightly divide the word of truth so that you can declare the truth. You declare it in two ways: the way you live and the way you speak. Because you do not want to be a disconnect in the way you live and the way you talk. That's called hypocrisy. Amen? You want to line up with what God has taught. You want your life to line up because you're walking in obedience to what He has declared. Now, this is extremely important because you and I are living in a time, we're living in a day, and we're living in an age where folk don't like truth. We're living in a time, we're living in a day and an age where people don't want to study. Everybody is lazy. I got to Google everything. Like you can believe everything you Google. You got to learn how to go to the Word of God and learn how to read, study, and hear God's voice for yourself. And can I tell you, this does not happen on a Sunday morning alone. You have to get into the practice of where you sit down and open up God's Word and where you say, "Speak, God, for I am listening." And where you read with your own eyes, you listen with your own ears, and you allow your heart to be filled with God's Word so that His transforming power can impact you. You've got to make it a discipline. That means that if you're spending more time on Facebook than you are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you need to repent. Amen, preacher. You have more responses on your Twitter or your X account. Your time is not being used appropriately. You are being robbed of one of the greatest benefits that God has given us. Do you know that every time you sit down and open up the Word of God, that you are engaging the living Word of God? That you're having FaceTime with God. Oh my goodness. That gets me excited right there, right? You may not understand every word that you read, but check it out. The one that you're reading about has understanding, and He will give it to you. You learn how to sit, bask in His presence, and enjoy it. And then digest, eat and digest the food that He gives. You need to have a methodical method by which you read and study God's Word. It needs to be more than once a day. Tell you what, this is what I want you to incorporate in your life if you think it's too hard. If you only want to read Jesus' Word, God's Word, once a day, start eating once. Amen. If that's how you feel about it, it's like, oh, I can't eat God's Word but once a day. Okay. Then after you've eaten God's Word, go get your victuals. And after you have eaten your victuals, say, well, I'm full for the day. Amen. I'm full for today. I've had enough. Wait a minute, ain't that the way you do God's Word? No, I know all of us don't do that, but I'm just saying. Just saying, right? No, you need to eat it. You need to feed on it. You need to regularly have it as an input into your life. Some words that you read that you have to spend time reading it over and over and over again and meditating on it. And all I'm saying is this, you need to think about the reading and eating of God's Word the same way you think about eating food for your body. What the food does for your body, the Word does for your soul and for your spirit. And what you need to learn how to do is learn to appreciate the value of God's Word. And you don't need to get it secondhand. You don't need it filtered through somebody else's commentary. The word you're getting right now is secondhand. It's filtered through the commentary of what God has given me. What you need to do is be able to go back and reach into God's Word and eat it unfiltered. Learn to enjoy it, receiving it, knowing that it will change your life. Then after you have eaten and read, after it has impacted you, you are now able to declare the truth of God's Word. You can declare the truth of God's word over your life, as we did earlier. You can declare the truth of God's word into someone else's life. You can declare the truth of God's word over a situation. You declare the truth of God's word because you are being bold and you're standing upon God's word because you understand that God watches over his word to perform it. Amen? So then, if I'm going to be bold for Jesus, I need to believe what his word has declared. I need to obey him rather than man. I need to love like Christ, and I need to declare the uncompromising truth of God's word. Amen. You bow your heads with me as I pray for us. Father, we stand in your presence, thankful for the examples and the illustrations that have been recorded in the book of Acts regarding the boldness brought about by your Spirit upon simple, ordinary, untrained individuals, about the boldness brought about by your Spirit upon the Apostle Paul, one who had been trained in the law, but yet had received enlightenment by your Spirit. We thank you for the example, boldness even proclaimed by Stephen, who in the face of a stoning did not hesitate to declare your truth, stand up on your word. Father, we are praying that you would help us, your people, to become bold like the saints of old. That wherever our feet take us, that we would go with the idea that we're going to represent you, with the attitude that our lives will be filled with boldness, that we will become outspoken for the kingdom, that we will declare it with plainness, that we will have frankness in our voices, that we will publicly confess that there is no other name by which men or women can be saved except the name of Jesus. We pray for a fresh filling of your Spirit on this day. We ask in the matchless name of Jesus Christ that you will do for us all that is needed that we might be able to serve you effectively in the kingdom. We appeal to you. Make us bold, unashamed, and able to declare your truth with love and compassion, just as Jesus did. In his name, people of God said, amen.